I really do want you, if you can, make contact with somebody nearby you, you know. So like you two are already together, that's easy. Some of you who aren't so much together, see if you can just look at somebody, find somebody and try to look at them, this, because you're going to ask them a question. So find somebody to ask a question right around you. Just kind of look. All right, you ready? Some of you aren't ready. Some of you are going to get a lot out of this. Some of you are going to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But here we go. Here's what we're going to ask. Ask them, have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? That's what I want to know today. And yeah, you're here. Well, and now look at them again and say this. Say, well, I hope so. I hope so. Some of you are going to feel a lot better about yourselves when we get done with this today. You're going to be like, oh, I'm okay. I thought I was nuts. Yes, yes, you are. Well, it depends on who you compare yourself to. But some of us are wondering if we've been a little crazy, and some of us maybe need to get a little crazy. And what is crazy anymore anyway? Holy moly, we live in a world where everything is normal. Or they're trying to normalize things that are so far from normal. The lack of reality is what? What's normal, yeah. The lack of reality in the world that we live in, there are people who are living in things that aren't real, and they're calling it okay, and they want us to celebrate it like it's okay, and it's not okay because it's not real. And there's a whole lot of pretend going on out there, and then there's us. There's us. Turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to use the NIV version when I do this, in case you're following along in the New King James. I don't know why I just grabbed that one this time. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 14, 15, and 16. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Okay, only a few of you. Just give you a couple more seconds here. Get you all in place. All right, I see some pages still turning. I'm just going to give everybody time because this is a good one. You might want to underline this one. After today's message, you'll really be like, I need to read that again. So, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. We'll stop right there and think about that a little bit. Just think about that. You ever had anybody look at you and you're trying your best to do what you think God wants you to do and you're kind of, people are tilting their head at you a little bit? That actually happens to me a lot because I do some crazy things. You all know I'm liable to, you know, prophesy over a waitress or just pray for somebody at Walmart or wherever I'm at. And sometimes people don't know what to think about me. It's like, well, but again, what does it say? The person that would be like you or me the person without the Spirit does not accept it. Not, that wouldn't be you or me. We got the Spirit. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Everybody say foolishness. And cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. This is the other person. This is us now. The person with the Spirit, that's you. Everybody say, that's me. All right. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not judged, is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let me say that again. But we have the mind of Christ. Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Now, there are a lot of people that you know, they like to quote that old Isaiah passage. The thoughts of the Lord are beyond us, you know. Who has known the thoughts of the Lord? They're higher than the heavens are above the earth. So are his thoughts above our thoughts and his ways above our ways. That was true under the old covenant. But we aren't under the old covenant. We talked about that during communion earlier. It was true under the old covenant, when we were trying to keep a covenant with God that we couldn't keep, but under the new covenant, we're not keeping a covenant with God. Jesus kept a covenant with God, and we get to be in his covenant. So here we are. Now we have something different going on. We have the mind of Christ. Paul, by the way, didn't say, I have the mind of Christ. He was writing to the Corinthians, and he said, we have the mind of Christ. If you've ever read the whole letter to the Corinthians, you will find in there some interesting things. They had a lot of weird stuff going on. They were experiencing God, and they were experiencing some things that came as a result of experiencing God. And a lot of the stuff that people look at in some of the churches as they were coming into their experience with God, the people around them looked at them and thought, these people are nuts. Are you willing to be a little crazy? It's something to consider. But we have already, we have it, the mind of Christ. I'm not sure what some of us are doing with it. Maybe we laid it down with our keys someplace and we can't find it. But we have the mind of Christ. It's available to us. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. I read this a lot. In fact, it was funny. Bill Johnson was speaking on this a while back. And he made a statement and it made me laugh. He said, I don't know if you need this or I need this, but I'm going to preach it anyway, even if I'm the one that needs it more than you need it. You know, that kind of thing. I like this verse. I refer to this verse a lot and have throughout my history of being a Christian. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've been working on this for a long time, 50 plus years, trying to get my mind renewed, trying to think the way God thinks. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you seem perfectly normal to all the people in the world around you, you ready for this? I'm not sure you're ready for this. If you seem perfectly normal to the rest of the world around you, they don't know who you really are. Think about it. If you seem normal to them, they don't know who you really are. Or perhaps this is true, maybe you don't know who you really are.
That's good.
If I don't know who I really am, I may try to conform to the world rather than conforming to who I am in Christ. I don't want to rock the boat. Maybe the world should think that you aren't quite right. Something not—I don't know what it is about that person, but something's not quite right about them. But they're right, and you're right aren't the same right, right? What shouldn't be? And I want to be in that. I don't want to be in that position. Maybe I should say it this way: I don't want to be in that position where I like the way the world thinks about me more than I like the way the Lord thinks about me. I'm going to look at a story with you again today. I've used this story for several different things, but it fits into what we're talking about today because I want us to get to the point where we're all out of our minds. I want you out of your mind. I want to have a church full of people who are out of their mind. And they're into the mind of Christ. I want to be out of my mind, and I want to be into the mind of Christ. I want to think the way God thinks. Acts chapter 10, verses 10 through 16. A lot of reading here, but I'll read it to you. Put up with I don't love to read out loud. That's just one of those things that I've never been really good at. But now, verse 10 of chapter 9 of Acts. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Happens to you all the time, right? Well, it would happen to us more. The more out of our mind we are, the more this might happen. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, by the way, have you ever done that? Just, I'm curious, have you ever given the Lord the information that you're sure he probably doesn't know? Yeah, I've done that, so you probably have too. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. Okay. How many of you know what a terrorist is? Some of you don't know what a terrorist is? No, you know. You know what? We know what a terrorist is. What's the most famous terrorist probably in your lifetime anyway? Osama bin Laden. Several people started to say it at once. It's amazing to think about. We all know what a terrorist is, and we know what terrorists do. That's who Saul of Tarsus was. That's who Saul of Tarsus was to the early church. He was terrorist numero uno, and he was causing terror among the believers. And everywhere he went, trouble. Difference between Saul maybe and Osama bin Laden was that Saul had the government behind him. He had authorities behind him, so he didn't worry about getting caught. All he had to do was go out and catch people. Can you imagine if Osama bin Laden had been given authority to just go around and kill all the people he wanted to kill, and no one was really able to stop him? You talk about terror, that would be it. At this point, when this story happens, the new covenant is still really new. Like, this is a new covenant. Like, it hadn't been around a while. They didn't have a New Testament to look into. They didn't have all the stories of everything that had been done. They didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have all that. They just had word of mouth, and they still had the old covenant. And this was a tricky thing because these people up till now who were servants of the living God had lived under an old covenant. And so they were very used to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And they weren't as used to love your enemies. Not that we're all used to love our enemies as much as we should be, but it was tricky. And honestly, if Saul was someplace where he was vulnerable, the smart thing in the mind of a lot of those who were believers now would have been, kill him. Get him while you can. Eliminate the terrorist. I don't know that I blame them for thinking that way. There were people who would suffer much at the hands of Saul and all those who he had organized to do what was being done. There was a lot of stuff going on. And so Ananias, if he expected to hear anything from God, it was, take your sword down to the street called Straight and cut this guy's head off. That would have been more what was normal in that day. Thankfully, Saul was listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit prevailed. Or excuse me, not Saul, Ananias was listening to the Holy Spirit. And The Holy Spirit prevailed. And I think, thankfully for Saul, that was good too. He was probably pretty glad that this guy was listening to God and the Holy Spirit and not to what would seem like the normal thing that would be done. And Ananias did what was instructed of him. But I have a question for you. What would have happened if Ananias had not done what he was told to do by the voice of God? Well, I don't know all that would have happened, but I know something that would not have happened. About half of our New Testament would not have happened. Saul wrote a bunch of letters, and then he had these guys that went with him that he affected their lives. And so Luke and Mark and Paul, the Apostle Paul, who we were calling Saul in this text, they wrote so much. And so much of what we look at and we study and we hear was affected by this event, powerfully affected by this event. What God was telling Ananias to do didn't make sense to the natural mind. And that's where we have a struggle today. Because sometimes we are lacking common sense in the society that we're in, but sometimes we're lacking a sense of the uncommon in the society in which we're in. And while I'd like to see some people out there have more common sense, I would also like to see some people in here carry a lack or I would like to see you carry a sense of the uncommon out to those who lack. Does that make sense? Well, maybe, but I'm not sure we're trying to make sense today. We're trying to learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit. And again, sometimes it doesn't make sense. God does that a lot, by the way. You are aware that God asks people to do things that don't make sense. There are stories in the Bible. I've asked this question before in another context. Who can tell me a story in the Bible where God asked someone to do something and it made no sense? Anyone? Noah! Build an ark! Noah, where near the sea? Build an ark! Yeah, and it took a long time to build that ark. I think it's 100 years. I have to look it back up, but I believe it was about 100 years. Can you imagine people around you looking at you while you're building this monstrosity? That didn't make any sense, except to God, right? What did Abraham do that didn't make any sense? Anybody think of it? Sacrifice his son. Yeah. Here's the son that you've been waiting on, the one that I told you. It's not Ishmael, it's this one. Yeah. Why don't you take him over yonder and kill him? We know that he didn't ultimately, but he was ready to. What did Joshua do that didn't make any sense? Yeah, here, take your people and just wander around this city 7 times for 7 days, and then on the 7th day do it, whatever. I can't remember the exact name. Yeah, blow horns and shout, and yeah, all that. And, oh, and the walls will come down. Sure, I've seen that a lot of times. Yeah, I'm buying into that one. What did he tell Moses to do? Stick your stick out over that water. Oh, yeah. Happens all the time. Boop. You walk across on dry ground. One of my favorites. Valley of dry bones. Speak to the bones. Can these bones live? How about Gideon? Anybody remember Gideon? You got too many people to fight this battle. Get rid of almost all of them. Yeah, that's just nuts. So it's something that God does on a regular basis. And the question is, am I ready to be one of those people who does stuff that God wants to do that doesn't make any sense? Do I have the mind of Christ? Or am I operating in my mind? Am I in my mind or am I out of my mind? Because if I'm in my mind, I probably will be spending too much in my mind, too much energy and effort to do things the way that makes sense to me. But if I'm a little out of my mind and I'm into the mind of Christ, who knows what he could tell me to do? Who knows what he will tell me to do? I wonder how Ananias' testimony, by the way, was received by the rest of the church. Hey, everybody! You know, they had testimony time like us. Somebody handed him the mic, I'm sure. And he gets up and he says, hey, I went down to the street called Straight the other day. There was a blind guy down there. I prayed for him and he received his sight. Everybody went, yay! Everybody in the room, yay! One, two, three. Yay! Okay. His name's Saul of Tarsus. Everybody in the room, boo! Right? You did what? Yeah, but he can see now. That means he can find us. That's a problem, Saul. No, Ananias, I'm sorry. I'm getting those two mixed up for some reason. When God is telling us to do something, sometimes not everybody's going to cheer and be happy. Just thought you might want to know. Even the other crazy people may not be crazy about your crazy. I am thanking God that Ananias was out of his mind and was into the mind of Christ. So have you been known to do anything a little bit crazy? You know, it's funny. It's okay to do a little bit crazy if you're on spring break. Under certain circumstances, it's okay to be a little out of your mind in even this world. As long as your mind isn't the mind of Christ, that's when they really think you're nuts. That's the problem. So I think we might not be all that bad off in the world we're living in, especially today, because it's kind of a crazy world. So maybe our crazy will just be another crazy to some people. Would that be so bad? You know, some people say, but some things people do are just embarrassing. I realize I started this message out with trying to get people who were sitting, and some of you were sitting with someone, so you had someone you could look at or someone you knew, but some of you looked around and you looked at somebody and said, are you out of your mind? We had you do that at the beginning. Are you out of your mind? And you're looking at somebody, you don't even know their mind. You maybe just met them. Are you out of your mind? Sometimes I ask you to do things that are a little awkward, a little embarrassing, but I'm trying to get something in your head and my head to change so that you and I can be more like we're supposed to be if we have the mind of Christ. I want to read you one more story, another one of my favorites. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 through 23. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all of his might. I would show you what that looks like right now, but number one, it probably wouldn't be as good as David, and number two, well, maybe I should make you uncomfortable. One for the money. No. We won't go there. And while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with him, with shouts and with sounds of trumpets. So David's bringing the ark. Some of you know this story. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. And after he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread and a cake of dates and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. And when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would do." By the way, not the same Saul. King Saul, Saul of Tarsus, not the same guy. Just in case that's a little confusing for anybody. This is Old Testament. That was New Testament. But she's not happy with him because she's been a princess her whole life. And David is not acting like a king. He's acting like somebody who's just crazy about God. Almost to the point of looking like he's literally crazy about God. And his wife's not thrilled. I think probably that's happened to more than just a few people in church where one husband or wife, one of them decides to get a little crazy. They start lifting their hands. They start waving their hands. They start going after God a little bit too hard. The other one's like, "I don't know what to do with that." It can happen. David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people of Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes, but by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Michal was embarrassed. That's what I think was happening. I think she was embarrassed. I think she was looking out there and it just embarrassed her. And it made her angry. It made her to the point where the word used in the scripture is despised. She despised him. Can't believe he's acting like that. She was worried about what people might think, and I think she was afraid of how she might look in conjunction with the crazy man. Someone again might say, "Well, Christians do goofy things sometimes." They do. "And I don't want people to think God's goofy." Too late. Most people who don't want to believe in God already think God's not going to do anything outside their little box. And God is constantly doing stuff outside of our little box, isn't he? Maybe we're afraid also. Maybe we're afraid to listen to God. But maybe we're putting that fear over into God. How many of you think God's big enough to handle what people think of him? Think he can handle that? You think he's up there going, "Oh, I can't believe they did that. Now these people think terrible of me." I don't think God's worried that way. I don't think we should react in fear. I think we should react in love. Even if somebody in our midst seems a little carried away or whatever, can't we just love each other? Can't we just enjoy the fact that some of us are doing all we can to get out of our own way of thinking and into the way God thinks? That's going to require risk, and it's probably going to have moments where when we do that, it's not going to work out quite the way maybe God even wants it to work out, because we're still kind of in between. I've been in between before. You know, it's like I need to raise my hands. One hand's up, one hand's down. I can't decide. Finally. Sometimes I'm double-minded. James said the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I've been there, done that. Probably should have a t-shirt for it. Maybe I should need to put that on a t-shirt. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and have a big arrow pointing up. So we need to just keep our love on and just keep going after God. Michal ended up barren. Barrenness was her experience, because she couldn't see that her husband had the mind of God, that he was a man after God's own heart, because she was holding back in fear instead of moving forward. Fear leads to barrenness. Fear leads to barrenness. I don't want to be full of fear. The fruit of every crazy Bible story is something miraculous that ultimately brought the crazy person into the high esteem of others. The crazy people who do the crazy things end up being the people who are held in high esteem and remembered and remembered. Their names go down in history. I'm not saying we should get crazy just for crazy's sake. I'm just saying that as God renews our mind, our old way of thinking is likely to be offended. As God renews our mind, our old way of thinking is likely to be offended and probably will rebel. Don't get up and give that testimony. Don't pray for that person. Don't spend that much time in prayer. You don't need to go there every Sunday. You don't need to hang out with that small group. You know what a fence is, don't you? It's a thing you keep your cows behind. That's what a fence is. You know, you're not going to be able to, you're going to have to get over that offense. You're going to have to get over a fence if you want to get out of the box that you put yourself in, that I put myself in, that we as human beings tend to put ourselves in. And we're just going to have to take those risks and see what God does. And again, I want God to think I'm more worried about what God thinks of me than I am of what people think of me. At least I should be. That would be the mind of Christ. It's just hard. I know. You're not the only ones. Sometimes I get some kind of crazy idea and I'm not sure I can go there. But I'm just suggesting that sometimes it really is an outside the box idea that is the Holy Spirit. And that turns out to be the mind of Christ. God is looking for people who are out of their minds in love with him. And I want to encourage you to be the one who is out of your mind. Be the one who's out of your mind and into the mind of Christ. Amen? I want to pray. Holy Spirit, I just believe that you are able to guide and direct each one of your people. And I pray that you'll start pressing us, Holy Spirit, to do those things that probably don't line up with what we would think normally makes sense, so that we could get a sense of what you're doing. Not common sense, Lord, but a sense of the uncommon. Give us the ability to do that, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.